Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. Hope your bye weekend was enjoyable. The weather was amazing, so hopefully you got to spend some time outside and stress-free. I watched 0 seconds of football today. Literally, not 1 second of football today. And it was, freeing is what it was. The Saints could not hurt me today, and it was freeing. So hopefully you guys had an equally as freeing bye weekend, but hey, time to lock back in. 5 more games for Ole Miss, the 5 most important games of Lane Kiffin's career, the 5 most important games in modern Ole Miss football history, maybe. And of course, unless they lose to Oklahoma, and then they're not important at all. It will fall off a cliff rather quickly. But point being, there is a lot to discuss this week, and I'm glad that you guys are with me on this and every edition of the Rebel Report. Today we're talking about the bye weekend and, you know, what happened, and obviously most specifically, did what happened in the bye week, did Ole Miss get any help this weekend at all? If they are to run the table, did they get help this weekend navigating their way back inside of what would be a playoff berth? We'll talk about that and, of course, get to your comments right after I invite you, please, to subscribe to the podcast. If you have not already, just search Rebel Report wherever you get them. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. If you're watching on YouTube, please don't forget to do that in the podcast feed, but also like the video and all that good stuff as well. In this edition and every edition of this very podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you've been personally injured, or you may be a small business owner and you need some legal advice or some legal guidance navigating through your life as a small business owner, or you may have a contract dispute, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, is the person that's got you covered. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere as long as you are in this great state and you need legal advice. Here's the number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. He says, don't delay, call DJ today, but save that number. If you're a small business owner and you don't need legal advice today, I mean, you probably know this, that day is going to come where you might need some help. Or if you get injured, you don't want to be left out in the cold, not knowing where to go. This is where to go. The Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799. Glad you guys are here. So looking at this weekend and whether or not Ole Miss, quote unquote, got help around the SEC, and, you know, to make a long answer, much shorter. Frankly, no, they really didn't get much help this weekend, both in the SEC and really around college football. For how chaotic this season has been with upsets galore, this weekend didn't really deliver on that front. Now, you got a second Alabama loss and everybody's enjoying that. You had a lot of controversy in Georgia, Texas, and I'm sure you guys are going to have a comment about that, so we'll get to that as well. But when it comes to chaos, right, we didn't really get a whole lot of that. Georgia looked like a wagon for the first half of that game. And then in the second half, really kind of struggled. And I can't quite figure out this Georgia team. They are very clearly elite in the defensive front. Schumann's really, really good at dialing up blitzes and disguising them. And they are physical and nasty up front on defense. But I'm just still not impressed at all with Carson Beck. I think he can be a turnover machine and frankly be a bad decision maker at times. Not overly impressed with their offensive weapons either. I mean, this is a Georgia team that, I mean, they look the way they look last night, and then they beat Kentucky by 1. You know, they kind of struggle with Mississippi State some. Beck turns the football over. I think they're really good. I know that they can be really good, but pretty inconsistent is this Georgia team. But I think you would rather Georgia have as many wins as possible when they come to Oxford so you can knock them off and have like that resume building win. But other than that, nothing to take away from that game. Somebody in Alabama, Tennessee was going to lose, obviously. I think Alabama's got more losses coming. We'll get to that here in a little while. So no quote unquote help there. Although Because again, one of them had to lose, so we'd be having the same conversation if the roles were just simply reversed. LSU Arkansas. I know that there were some people, Ole Miss fans, rooting for Arkansas in that game. I think that it's good if LSU keeps winning. I think it's good for two reasons. One, I think Arkansas getting knocked down a peg, especially if they find a way to go to Starkville this weekend and lose, which I think is possible. Arkansas losing, I think, is good for Ole Miss because, in my opinion, still, let's just get to 10. Get to 10. Georgia, you would love to be a signature win, but the other four, I don't think it matters. So just whatever it takes to get those games to be won, I think you want Florida to kind of fall off a cliff. I don't think you want Mississippi State to win another game. I think you want Arkansas to go to Starkville and lose this weekend. Just get those wins, right? And so LSU beating Arkansas down, and then let's say next weekend they go to Starkville and lose. That atmosphere is going to be basically nothing when Ole Miss goes to Fayetteville here in a couple of weeks, which I think is a good thing for Ole Miss. And LSU being a game in which Ole Miss lost, in which they never trailed, I think you want that loss to look as good as possible. And LSU has a chance to really help Ole Miss down the road if they can keep winning. So to me, LSU winning is good for Ole Miss. I don't know if they helped that much. Maybe it's splitting hairs, but I think you should root for LSU to win the rest of their games, quite frankly, because, again, we'll get to this in a second. Down the road, they can really help Ole Miss, and knocking Arkansas down is also helpful to me as well. Mississippi State couldn't help Ole Miss. I don't think at any point watching that game I thought that they were going to actually win, but Texas A&M could have lost. They did not. Same thing with Auburn, Missouri. Now, I think Missouri's going to lose another game here, and Missouri will be behind Ole Miss as long as they are able to lose that second game. Doesn't matter to who or when, but Auburn didn't help Ole Miss at all. Hugh Freeze has lost his fastball as a coach or something, because his teams cannot put teams away, and quarterback play is awful, and offense is awful, and Auburn is awful. South Carolina beating Oklahoma is good for Ole Miss. It just makes that win look a little bit better. Oklahoma's a disaster. They fired their offensive coordinator. So Joe John Finley will be calling plays for the Sooners this weekend in Oxford. Vanderbilt, Ball State, nothing. Kentucky, Florida, I know you guys are going to comment about this as well. That game, that Kentucky loss, I've seen a lot of the discourse over the weekend where people are talking about that Kentucky game as the most consequential loss in modern Ole Miss football history. And I mean, you can really rationalize that, right? Like that 2015 team, they had a chance at the SEC and lost to Arkansas on that fluke play. But that was a team that lost to Memphis earlier in the year. And also that was a good Arkansas team. This is a terrible Kentucky team. And the more they play, the worse that loss is going to look. In hindsight, what a really, really stupid loss that was for Ole Miss. And that very well could be the game that haunts them, not only this season, but for a long time. So pretty rough one there. Florida starting to hit their stride a little bit. Lagway is good. He's inconsistent, but he's really talented. He's really good. Florida starting to figure things out a little bit as a team. Now, luckily, by the time Ole Miss gets there, they could really just be limping into that game at that point. But still, Florida's improving. That game no longer looks like a gimme at all for Ole Miss. But again, we'll see what they look like when it comes down to that road. So very little help this weekend. Nationally, also not much. I mean, I think Michigan getting essentially eliminated from the playoffs. They suffered their third loss. So Michigan is out. Although I do think Illinois losing that game would have been ultimately better for Ole Miss. Michigan is essentially eliminated from playoff contention. Louisville had an opportunity to knock Miami down. Miami's been playing with fire. They're still playing with fire and just have yet to get burned. So missed opportunity there. UCF could have gotten to Iowa State. They did not. I don't know how much that actually helps or hurts Ole Miss, but you would prefer the Big 12 to be a one-bid league. And the top two teams in the Big 12 both had chances to lose, and neither one of their opponents could close the game out. It would have been better for Ole Miss, I suppose, if both of them would have lost. Otherwise, Nebraska is now eliminated, essentially, from competition against Ole Miss, by the way, with their second loss, for whatever that may be worth, when you start talking about Indiana as a possible playoff team. Kansas State blew out West Virginia, so no help there. And that's really it in terms of results this weekend and whether or not they helped or hurt Ole Miss. So, again, very, very little quote-unquote help. There was not the chaos this weekend that that you were hoping for anyway. They did not get that this weekend. But looking at some of these teams in the SEC, because now the conversation has turned to, well, shoot, there could be like 7 or 8 teams, whatever it is, in the SEC with records of 10-2. And because of how this season has gone, I don't think that's going to happen anyway. I really don't. I still stand by the if you get to 10, you're in with an SEC schedule, regardless of which one it is. I think if Ole Miss wins their next 5 games, they're in. Do I think they're going to at this point? I do not. But if they do that, I think they're a playoff team, especially when you look around the rest of the SEC. I mean, Alabama just suffered their second loss. They've got Missouri this weekend. They are in Tiger Stadium. Like I said earlier, I think you want LSU's help. Going to Tiger Stadium and Alabama losing on November 9th, eliminating them is a good thing for Ole Miss. Arkansas can't – I mean, they can help you some, but they're not in your way. They could beat Texas or Missouri, I suppose, but Arkansas's not in the way. Auburn, awful, not in the way. Florida getting better, not in the way. Georgia's got some opportunities for losses. I mean, I even think the cocktail party is not exactly just a gimme for them, but obviously at Ole Miss could be a loss for Georgia. And then, I mean, Georgia's played a tougher schedule, I suppose, but Ole Miss would have the head-to-head win over Georgia. But don't forget, they still have to play Tennessee as well. So they're still in the way, but Ole Miss controls their destiny there. Kentucky, awful. They can help Ole Miss. They can go to Tennessee and win. I don't think they will, but they could. They could go to Texas and win. I don't think they will, but they could. That Kentucky loss is just awful for Ole Miss. Here's why I think LSU, you need to root for LSU to win and to keep winning. They could give Texas A&M their second loss this weekend. That would be helpful for Ole Miss. They could give Alabama their second or their third loss as well. So LSU's next 2 games could essentially maybe not eliminate, because Texas A&M would only have their second loss at that point, but LSU could really help Ole Miss, not only making their loss look much better, but also knock some teams out in front of them. Mississippi State, obviously inconsequential. They could give you help, I suppose, at Tennessee, at Missouri. I'm just kind of giving you guys the games that you need to root for, essentially. Oklahoma, inconsequential. They could help you at Missouri, Alabama, or at LSU. I don't think any of that, but I don't think you want LSU to lose, but I don't think those are going to happen, but you want Oklahoma to beat Missouri and or Alabama. South Carolina, you want them to win the rest of their games just for resume purposes, but also they could knock off Texas A&M. They could knock off Missouri. They could knock off Clemson at the end of the year. So root for South Carolina as the season goes on. Tennessee in Ole Miss's way. They've got to go to Georgia. They've got to go to Vanderbilt. They're playing Kentucky this weekend. Again, not Kentucky, but root for those. Root for Vanderbilt against Texas. You want Texas to lose as much as possible down the road. Texas A&M, you want LSU to beat them this weekend. You want South Carolina to beat them in 2 weeks. That would essentially eliminate them. And Vanderbilt's going to get another loss. You don't have to worry about that. So I know that was just kind of like a schedule reading. I don't like doing those. But that is what, in my opinion, that's what you're hoping for. Those are the kind of things that you need to happen if Ole Miss is going to run the table, which is the obvious one, you know, the thing that has to happen, because Ole Miss is not getting in at 9-3 with a loss to Kentucky. I just don't think it's going to happen. But 10 will get them in, especially when you consider how the season has gone, how easy even the SEC is, and the volume of games where the teams in front of Ole Miss can slip up and create issues. So it's still there in front of them. They are going to get help. They just simply did not get that help this weekend the way they could have and the way they have in weekends past. But it's coming. It's coming. The season is chaotic and will continue to be, despite this weekend not being so. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. tell them I sent you, you get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. While Ole Miss didn't get much help, this is the first comment of the night. While Ole Miss didn't get much help with pole positioning or SEC standings, their next two games certainly look a lot more manageable. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I mean, Oklahoma's a disaster. I didn't read your second comment. I mean, Oklahoma's a downright disaster, and Arkansas looks so bad out of a bye, won't be surprised if they lose to State this coming Saturday. I will not either. State's playing better. Van Buren's a nice quarterback. Lebby's doing a good job of scheming them right now. They've got a pretty good group of wide receivers. Problem is offensive line play is bad, and defensively they're, oh boy, their defensive front's a disaster. It really is. But hey, I mean, they've got quarterback and they've got good offensive scheme. They're getting guys open. They're creating running lanes behind that bad offensive line. And this might be the one. I think they're going to get somebody. And frankly, I think it's only going to be one because of how porous they are defensively. But I think they're going to get Arkansas this weekend. I do think they're going to get somebody. I do. Talk Saints and Rattler. Why would you want me to do that? Why would you? No, it's not going to get fixed with the Saints until there's wholesale changes organizationally. That's their way out of it. They clearly in the front office have done a poor job of roster management and talent evaluation. They've done a poor job of identifying and hiring coaches. Clearly, their messaging to the fans is a joke. Everybody needs to go. It needs to be a total blow up and rebuild. Watching football and not worrying was great. It really was today. Vikings-Lions was great. I'll take your word for it. Didn't watch a snap. I checked out of football today. Ole Miss is minus 20.5 this week. I mean, frankly, that sounds about right to me. Oklahoma is so bad. And while Lane Kiffin is apparently spending his Sunday night of game week at a Taylor Swift concert with possibly some subliminal messaging behind the video. God, I hope that concert's not tonight. But anyway, despite that, Ole Miss has had an off week. They've been able to get healthier. And again, Oklahoma is a absolute disaster. And maybe Ole Miss will actually play their good running back this week. Might happen. It doesn't matter if Ole Miss gets help or not. They must win out. Well, of course. But what are we going to talk about? They didn't play this weekend. And, you know, we've got 6 days until their next one. But, you know, that whole help conversation is rooted in the assumption that they went out, which is not a given, of course. How healthy is Ole Miss now? I mean, they should. This bye week, from a health perspective, probably came at a really good time, especially on the offensive line. Gave Trey Harris a week off to kind of figure things out and get healthy there as well, although I think his might linger a little bit, but I would expect him to play. I think Princely now should be a full go. I mean, he was in uniform last week, and so if that's the case, then you would anticipate him being able to play in this one. So, is Dennis Allen fired yet? No, because the Saints are not a serious organization whatsoever. I think Alabama's taking at least one more loss, probably to LSU. They look so out of sorts. Welcome to reality, Bama. And yeah, I mean, as Ryan Brown, friend of the radio show, pointed out, Alabama's undisciplined. They are a poorly prepared football team. They're a poorly coached football team. They do dumb, undisciplined things often. And how bad of a look was it to walk into the stadium with cigars, like the victory cigars in their mouths as they're walking into the stadium? Things are weird there right now. And my Milroe take that I got ridiculed for on the radio show is aging really well. He's not good. I mean, at best, he's really inconsistent. He's talented, but he's really inconsistent. And Alabama's in bad shape right now. All that standing in between Tennessee and 10-2 is UTEP, Kentucky State, and Vanderbilt. But that's an easy schedule. But you've watched Tennessee play. I'm not convinced that they're just going to waltz through those four games. I know they're probably going to win them all. But I'm not convinced that they will. Love the fake injuries by Alabama, a program of pure class, right? Whew, boy, that one. Sending a player on the field to dive right before the snap, that was something special, wasn't it? Wonder if Greg Sankey is going to force Alabama to release a statement on a Friday like they did to did for Ole Miss. The Ole Miss offensive line cannot block that Georgia front four. Yeah, they've got their hands full. That's going to have to be a game in which, one, the Ole Miss defense plays really well, but also they're going to have to scheme the hell out of it. I mean, this is the Ole Miss offense. You know, it's been talked about a lot about, you know, what's the issue? Is it line play? Is it quarterback? Is it scheme? I mean, I've said it, you know, I'm just a guy, but I have seen other teams do things to alleviate offensive line issues. And I think Ole Miss could also be doing a better job of helping out their quarterback. And also, I think Jackson Dart can play a hell of a lot better. You have seen this coach and this quarterback and those weapons perform better than they have. You have seen Ole Miss be schemed better under Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. Than they have over the last few weeks. But it's been awful. And, you know, hopefully in between songs at the Taylor Swift concert, you know, there's some film study going. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that radio guy. Instead of being a Taylor Swift. Yeah, no. But seriously, I've seen them do it, and I've seen them do it well. For some reason, they're not right now. And I don't think you can just point to offensive line's bad. They are calling perfect offense with the exception of, like, they're calling perfect offense. It's literally only the offensive line's fault. I don't buy that. I think quarterback plays bad, and I don't think they're helping them out enough. I don't think they're using Juice Wells correctly. It's up to the offensive savant to fix it. I think he can, but you got to at some point show it. Is it a stretch to say that this is the biggest stretch of games Ole Miss has had in a long time? No, it's not at all, especially because of the implications if you fail, right? It's not just if they win them all, they make this playoff, but it's the implications if you fail. It would be an indictment on Lane Kiffin, frankly. You would have questions about whether or not you're going to get fan buy-in to pay for such an expensive roster again, things like that. You know, it would be a failure. We talked about it. We talked about it going into the season, and I will not waver on that take. If they lose more than two games in the regular season, it's a failure. And you can point right back to the Kentucky loss as to exactly why. That is an inexplicable loss, as it turns out. I said in the postgame that they got exposed by Kentucky. I didn't realize that it was even worse than that. So, yeah. Some narratives will be affirmed or eliminated, I guess, with what happens in these next five games. Thought Georgia was going to win the game. Texas was not prepared for what was coming. They played no one of real quality, and Georgia wanted it more. And I thought that was a very interesting panic move, I think, making the quarterback switch. I guess Sark said it was to calm Ewers down, but that felt like a desperation move, and it obviously did not work out at all. But yeah, you did see that coming. I remember your messages going into it. You'll believe again if they beat Georgia? Well, we got to win the two before Georgia first, but yeah. One of LSU and A&M is losing next week. Then you bet A&M loses at South Carolina while LSU plays Bama and A&M plays Texas. It'll sort itself out. I tend to agree. I think, simply put, if Ole Miss just takes care of their business, they're getting in. I mean, we talked about that all summer, and I more firmly believe that today than I ever have. If they just take care of their own business, everything else will take care of itself. Opinion on the Deshaun Watson situation, where Browns fans were cheering when he was injured today. I mean, just as a general principle, you shouldn't cheer when somebody's injured on a field. But I mean, I would not have had I been sitting there. But I think that that's what happens when you allegedly do what he allegedly did. And I really, like, everybody's sharing, you know, what Jameis Winston said in the locker room, talking about how powerful it was. And I could not possibly disagree more. I don't think it's powerful at all. I think it's, you know, everybody's favorite word now is gaslighting. I think it's gaslighting, pretending like people don't have a reason to strongly dislike or even hate Deshaun Watson. I think that it's a goofy position to take. And talking about how he put his life on the line for the city as if he wasn't getting over $200 million guaranteed dollars to play a game. I mean, the hyperbole and all that was not powerful at all. I don't think people have to respect him in any way because he's a football player. He's a football player. That doesn't inherently earn respect and compassion when you allegedly do what he was accused of doing. So I didn't find what Jameis said profound or anything in any way. I thought it was, and like Myles Garrett, same thing. He said he's been a model citizen for most of his pro career. What are you, Atlas holding the earth up at that point with the word most? Jeez. Anyway. I wouldn't have done it myself just because I don't think cheering somebody's injury is what I would do, but it's what happens. Any chance Freeze bites the dust this year? What's the buyout? I think I doubt it. I mean, I would be shocked unless there's another scandal. But if they did that, they would create such a toxic narrative about their job that I don't think that they would be able to truly overcome. I mean, you fire Harsin after 2 years, and you try to pin a fake affair or scandal on him to try to avoid paying his buyout, and then you would turn around and hire Hugh Freeze and fire him after 2 years, nobody's taking it. I mean, somebody would end up taking the job, but their candidate list would not be what they think it was. But they're awful. And he had opportunities to upgrade at the quarterback position. But as we talked about in the offseason, he said that he just couldn't justify spending big money on a quarterback. And I said, that's easy to say in April, but what happens when you start losing again? And sure enough, you know, nailed that one. I think that he's not a good football coach anymore. I think that he is a poor man's Jimbo Fisher, and just because he was great once doesn't mean he'll be great always. And quarterback development is not happening at all. I mean, Peyton Thorne has not improved at all from year one to year two. The offense is still a mess. The throwing assistants and players and stuff under the bus is going to rub people the wrong way. And yeah, he'll go get another high school wide receiver, but it's not going to change everything else. So he'll stick around for another year and they'll underachieve again and then they'll fire him and that'll be it. If he gets fired from Auburn, where should he go? To the lake. Preach at one of those mega churches and one of those that has, you know, campuses all over a state. Like New Spring or something, and just kind of do the tour around and collect your millions of dollars that coaches get in an inflated market that is inexplicable to anybody that understands business and enjoy life without all the pressure of being a losing football coach. If Ole Miss doesn't handle Oklahoma, let the concerns rise. Oh, my gosh. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, this Saturday, they can't just win. It has to look better. You've had your week off. It has to look better. And, yes, the Kentucky loss will probably go down as a historically bad loss. Circumstance-wise, it could be one of the worst in the modern era, for sure. Vanderbilt is ranked in football, number 25. Isn't that amazing? Indiana's undefeated. Their basketball team has been a joke for – not a joke, but they've been underachieving relative to their expectations and program status for how long now? Bama won't be in the playoffs. I agree. If Lenora Sellers, man, it was a beautiful play call in the two-point conversion that would have tied the game. I mean, late in the fourth. If he just puts it on him, then hell, they might already have that third loss. Tennessee has serious offensive struggles, and yet here they are in the thick of the playoff hunt. They've managed to dodge that second loss. Ole Miss did have two very similar teams. Yes, they are. They got very lucky against Florida last week. Very, very lucky. I think they're losing two more. Nico's got to be a lot better. Could LSU be a two-loss but one-loss SEC team? Yes, they could. That is absolutely their path at the moment. Yeah, that 100% could be that. Then go to the SEC championship and still be ahead of Ole Miss, though we don't need LSU to get two SEC losses. Yeah, I think just as hard as it is, root for LSU the rest of the way. Ole Miss has a 10-2 that's worse than Alabama's or Texas A&M's or Texas or LSU. Well, the Vanderbilt loss for Alabama is better than the Kentucky loss. They would both have a win over Georgia in that scenario. Who's Texas A&M's second loss to? Is it LSU? Is it South Carolina? Is it Texas? Still, theirs is probably better. Yeah. Got to get some losses here. Which you will, by the way. You will. Those teams are going to lose those games. It will happen. It will. You're not going to get 8-10-2 teams or whatever it is in the SEC. You won't. It's not going to happen. What's Brent Venables' buyout? He won't be there for sure in 26. I think if it keeps going like this, he won't be there in 25. I really don't. Look, they've got Ole Miss this weekend. That should be a loss. And they still have to go to Missouri, play Alabama, and go to LSU. I mean, that's offensively, they're a disaster. It's that they've made the transition to the SEC, and they don't look equipped for it. Focus for Ole Miss should be going 2-0 with Oklahoma and Arkansas and showing signs of improvement on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah. LSU's not a great team, but Ole Miss essentially gave them a second life to make a playoff push. Defensively, they're way better, not having to rotate around Harold Perkins. They also currently have the best quarterback in the SEC. That they do. I do not disagree with you there at all. Just saw where Pete Thamel reported about Southern Miss firing Will Hall. I saw that. I like Will Hall. It's a shame that didn't work out there. It's a tough job, but it's one where they have won in the past, and they are certainly not going to accept losing at the level that he has lost. I mean, there's no other way around that. His recruiting classes have been good. His portal has been good. And he hasn't won. Mostly just can't keep quarterbacks healthy. It's been a mess. Where they turn, I have no idea. I mean, most people are like, well, Derek Nix is the obvious choice. I would not start there if I were them. I think that they already went the coordinator route. And at least Will Hall was a coordinator, not one in name only. I would look for an FCS head coach first that's been really successful. Start there. I think they need somebody with head coaching experience if they can pull that off. Saw, I think it was Thamel or one of them say that, oh gosh, who was it? The defensive backs coach at Florida State. And it's like, that is that where you're going to turn? I don't know about that. I think that they should try to go the same, a similar route. I know it's not the same, but like what Kansas State or Indiana did, you know, hire somebody that's winning at the FCS level and go from there. Now, I don't think that they're going to be able to get North Dakota State's head coach, but look at the guy at Mercer and his resume. He was a winner at the Division II level at a place that doesn't win very much, and now he's at Mercer and they're 6-0. And I mean, somebody like that, somebody that is already winning football games as a head coach that doesn't have to figure it out on the job, because the job's going to be difficult enough as it is. Why is Dart not spreading the ball around the field? Trey Harris is over 2 times the targets as the next wide receiver. I don't know. I mean, that's the $9 million. Well, add Weiss's salary. That's the $10.5 million a year question. I think part of it is he is trying to do too much in pressing and trying to just win with the deep ball always. There have been guys, check downs and stuff, that have been available in multiple games that he has not taken. I also think that they could help him, like, force the issue with that a little bit better than they have. He's been better than he's played the last few weeks. He absolutely has been better. You've seen it. But he's been really bad lately. So if you get a bad call against you, just throw trash on the field to have the officials break the rules and reward you instead, sounds like an effective way to help your team. Yeah, and you know what frustrates me about how the SEC has handled all of this is selective accountability. That's something that I battle with my son, not with him, with me, with him, is making sure that I am consistent in my expectations of him and when he does not meet them and what happens, right? Like having a standard and fulfilling that standard every day and having principles and adhering to those principles and, you know, being tough when I need to be tough and being soft when I need to be soft, but that not being that being a firm thing where he knows what to expect, right? It's what I found to be the most difficult part about parenting is being consistent with what I'm willing to accept. You saw that this weekend and the weekend before in the SEC. Their statement about what the officials did was just nonsense, just word vomit is all it was. It did not at all acknowledge the fact that they were not conversing. They were not talking about it. They were set up like they had moved the chains. The ball was set. They were ready to go. And then trash started getting thrown on the field. And there is no way whatsoever that they did not see the gigantic video board there. There's no way they didn't see it. But even if they didn't, which they did, but even if they didn't, they were not going to have that conversation. They weren't doing that without the trash being thrown on the field. And the SEC statement didn't even acknowledge that fact, didn't even acknowledge the fact that was the case. That is unacceptable. Even if the call was wrong, you have to go with it. Because now a drunk sophomore is going to be up in the stands. What are the games next week? And what's the biggest game next weekend? Let's see, because I don't think Ole Miss Oklahoma counts here. Let's see. Alabama at Missouri. Really bad call goes against Missouri. Do you think they're not going to start throwing trash on the field? They've seen it work. And no, it won't work again, but it doesn't matter. They've seen it work. And officials caved to trash on the field to change a call that they got wrong. And ultimately, they got it right, and we should always root for them getting it right. But the method in which they got it right sets a precedent that is so bad. But more importantly to me, it's the selective accountability. Texas got a $250 fine or $250,000 fine, and they are now going to have to use security cameras to try to find the students that threw trash so they can kick them out of games. So the students that threw water bottles on the field are being held more accountable than the officials on the field that screwed up, and they are being held more accountable than a coach that shoved an opposing player the week prior. But when a coach says in the postgame press conference, the officials weren't good today, they get fined. But the coach that shoves an opposing player, well, he said he was sorry. So what do you want me to do? He said he was sorry. And look, $25,000 or whatever it is to Kirby Smart is nothing, right? It's absolutely nothing. But because the SEC office has done that, it creates the illusion of bias. And like, look, Georgia had players kicked out of the game, and I don't think the officials were biased against Georgia at all. But what happened creates the illusion of it. What happened with Kirby Smart creates the illusion that he's protected the week prior, right? Which, again, it's the two things happening are kind of counterintuitive, because Georgia got screwed because of bad officiating a week after their coach got away with something. So that in and of itself tells you that they're not, at least it's not obviously protecting one brand, right? But when you do stuff like that, when you selectively enforce, when you are inconsistent with what matters to you, when you're forcing a school to release a statement about fake injuries the week before, is Alabama going to come out with one this week that the league office forced? Because that's what happened with Ole Miss, by the way. That's what happened. Keith Carter didn't decide to go to Kiffin's office and say, hey, I don't like the fake injuries, so you're going to release a statement on Friday. That's not what happened. They were forced to do that. They were. As part of a back and forth negotiation thing with the league. So they do that to Ole Miss, but Kirby Smart shoves a player, doesn't get fined, but you criticize officiating, you get fined. Officials completely botch a situation. Nothing happens to them. It's inconsistent. It's like, wait, what matters to you? What are your principles? Why is this different than that when they are very comparable situations, or one being worse than the other, but that one doesn't get punished and this one does? That's how you get conspiracies. That's how you get lack of trust, when you're not consistent. And they're not consistent. Defensively, Ole Miss can play with Georgia. Offensively, I don't think so. Fair enough. I think we have the capability of winning out. Of course, talking about Ole Miss, Cal is. But I'm not sure where the team's head is at. I think the Oklahoma game is really going to tell us what the odds are. What do you think? Absolutely. I mean, I said it a second ago, but it has to look different. It has to look different. Has to look better. This Oklahoma game is going to tell us a lot about this team. How they play out of the gate with an 11 o'clock kickoff and stuff like that. We'll learn a lot this weekend. If Ole Miss misses the playoff, Lane needs to be a head coach and get a real OC. Stop paying someone to just sit in a position and collect a check. Well, Weiss is doing a lot more than that. If they continue to struggle offensively for the rest of the season, I do think that would be warranted. Will that happen? I don't think so, but that's a different conversation. I've heard some conversations about 9-3 being a scenario that could be deemed recoverable because the season didn't tank. Yeah, recoverable, but it still doesn't make what happened not a failure, right? So yes, if they end up 9-3, it's still an F. That would be the Kentucky loss would have just been so awful. But yes, you can recover from that for sure. I don't think you'd have a full on fan base revolt if you win the rest of your games, but Georgia beats you by a field goal. Now, people would be pissed, because they should be, because you lost Kentucky at home and this Kentucky team sucks and that shouldn't have happened. Frankly, the way you played in Baton Rouge, you shouldn't have lost there either. Right? Kind of coach your way out of situations. The Bentley saga has just been a disaster and a joke. So, I mean, people wouldn't be okay with how the season went, but you could keep people in. Sark basically lied to yours about him being the guy no matter what. Napier could potentially stay as the Florida coach, even at 5-7. I'm sure they have the money to actually fire him, but they don't want to do it. They're playing very well. They're playing much better. You've got the young quarterback. You got the young running back now. There's improvement there. There's school turmoil. I've told you guys, I mean, that they don't want to. They might have to, but they don't want to. And by they, I'm not talking about just random fans online. They don't want to fire him. So if they have enough reason not to, they won't. Despite the ACC officiating protecting them, it's undeniable. Miami is must-watch TV. They're really fun. They're still playing with fire, though. You wonder if the Oklahoma offense will look better after they fired their OC. I mean, I guess it could. I think personnel-wise, they're in such bad shape that it'll be hard for them to really have great offense. I mean, their wide receiver room has been depleted by injury up front on the offensive line. They're awful. I mean, you might see some new wrinkles that you haven't seen on film yet, but there's still Ole Miss really matches up well. Ole Miss's front six is, I mean, the bright spot of the team. They are so good up front on defense, and the Oklahoma offensive line is awful. Awful. Friday was Florida State's first ever loss to Duke. I did not know that. Lincoln Riley's a con man, USC at 3-4. He could call my offense as an OC anytime, though. Connor Wegman was bad against State, very inconsistent. He should have thrown like 5 or 6 interceptions in that game. He got lucky it was only one. My goodness. State dropped, I mean, a couple of just like breadbasket interceptions. Oh, it was terrible. Who does Oklahoma throw out there? Quarterback Jackson Arnold's completely ruined. Aren't they all ruined at this point? Iowa State and BYU can't. They're incredibly fun to watch. Can't dodge these bullets forever. Neither one of them should have won this weekend. Neither one. You doubt Sherrone Moore is the coach at Michigan for too much longer? I think he'll get one more year and that's it. Going back to Kentucky, despite the Ole Miss win, they're getting worse and worse. Really bad look for Mark Stoops on Saturday. They might not win another SEC game. Let's see how they finish. At Florida, Auburn at home. They lost at Florida, obviously. Auburn at home, at Tennessee, at Texas, and then Louisville. Oof. They're paying him $9 million a year, too. So, yeah, Texas was fined $250,000. Why is there no penalty for trash being thrown or crowd disruption of games? Remember the Browns game when Bottlegate happened? There should be. Should be, I mean, an auto 15 yards at least, you know, or maybe even worse than that. But the game was about the best scenario we could hope for in terms of creating discussion about awful officiating, but still nothing will be done. Of course not. The SEC wants fake injuries to be an Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin problem by forcing them to release that statement when it's a plague across the sport. Pay close attention to see if Alabama has to do the same this week. Who was Lane yelling at right after the Bentley touchdown during the LSU game and why? So I don't know why. I have my guess. I mean, he was yelling at Kevin Smith, the running backs coach. I don't know what he said. I don't know why. Most people thought it was you should have been playing him the whole time or like I told you so or something like that. Whatever the reason is, that situation is so deeply unserious because like I had a texter on the radio show say, cause Haydad and I were talking about this last week and he was like, well, Lane trusts his assistants. And so it's Kevin Smith's fault that Bentley wasn't playing. And I just simply cannot, if that's the case, then it needs to not be because if with all due respect, if a walk-on is getting snaps in meaningful games over Bentley, the only real home run hitter they have in the running back room who can break open a game at any time, who has good vision and, I mean, everything, right? Like, he's not the biggest back, but If that is going on, you as the head coach, you stop it. And if there was petty drama, I mean, like, there's so many rumors, right, about what happened. They are all inexplicable, especially when you consider what they dealt with at the running back position last year and the drama that came with that individual player. And no, I'm not saying that Bentley can have 300 carries like Judkins did, but it is inexplicable. There is no reason that I have seen so far that explains that situation to where it makes sense that they didn't play him until he got 11 carries against LSU, which it should have been 20, but still. I mean, if he gets 15 carries against Kentucky, I think they win that game, and we're not even having these conversations right now. But they didn't play him because of something that is dumb. Quinshon Judkins threatened to hold out of a game for more NIL money, and they played him in the game anyway. Like, there is nothing that could have happened. If it's weight gain, if it's whatever it is, missing meetings, whatever the excuse was, there is absolutely no reason for them to wait until the LSU game to play by far their best running back. So there is no reason, and I'm beating this dead horse. I talk about it way too much, especially on the show, apparently. But like that underscores a real problem here, because I've seen people say, well, like, nobody wants to win more than Lane. So are you suggesting that he did something that wouldn't help him win? What other answer do you have? Sometimes football coaches are petty. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they do dumb things. They're not rocket scientists. They're football coaches. Like, they're people. I do dumb things. You guys do dumb things. This could just be a dumb thing. And not could be. It is. It is. As of now, what SEC coaches will be fired within 2 seasons? Let's see. Within 2 seasons, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky. That's it. And Oklahoma. Did I say Oklahoma? If I didn't, I meant to. Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma. I think Beamer might be saving his job. And yes, I think if Kentucky continues to fall off the map, they're going to raise the buyout and fire Stoops. I do. I really do. So I got to run, guys. Thank you so much, as always, for being here and being a part of this. You guys are the best, and I cannot thank you enough. So like the video, subscribe, all the good stuff. We'll be back on Tuesday live as usual at 8 o'clock. We'll really get to start talking about this Oklahoma game and anything that happens between now and then. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you here very soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.